The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices from yonder.
I don't need to be. Oh Lord, won't you hear my prayer? Oh, oh, you know I really care. Please, please bring her back to me. Oh Lord, the snow is falling and the whole world kneels to pray. For tomorrow brings the dawning of another Christmas day. Can he tell me, oh, where can she be? Oh, 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 Lord, Lord, oh, won't you hear my prayer? Oh, you know, I really, really care. So bring her back to me. Oh Lord, will you please help me? For my baby gone astray. Bring her back now, 'cause I'm so lonesome. And tomorrow, Christmas Day. Christmas Day.
Wanda's worse this morning. Wanda's worse this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the house of the Lord as we're here online today, and along with a few folks who still came in this morning and here to worship the Lord together on this beautiful Sunday morning. In case you're wondering why it's a little different this morning, we are not having in-house worship today due to illnesses, and so we are just so glad that we are all together online and blessing our God on this third Sunday of Advent. And truly that to bless the Lord our God today. So we are thankful we do have these measures in the intelligence of technology, and hopefully all things will work well. So we pray God's love and blessing upon all as we worship the Lord together today. And so let's open with a word of prayer, and then we will have our Advent reading and the candle lighting as we normally do. And we'll just serve the Lord today and just bless on Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, today that as we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, gathering here in the house of the Lord and gathering by the Spirit of God in our homes, together we are united. We bless You, Lord, and thank You, Holy Spirit. We can worship You in spirit and in truth no matter where, no matter what the matter and occasion, and wherever we are. And Lord, we feel your nearness and your closeness this morning, even though we are not gathered together here and together, but it is the Spirit of God that unites us. So Lord, today may our hearts be worshipful unto you. May our focus be on you, our gratitude and our love for who you are and all that you have done for us. Speak to our hearts through the word today. May your truth be proclaimed in pulpits everywhere today. May Christ be exalted, lifted up. For Lord, you said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. We love Christmas time. We love the joy and the blessings of your birth. And God, we thank you for your love in our hearts that you sent your Son to us. Jesus, you are our everything. You are our fullness in our life. And we thank thee, Lord, for your healing powers upon all of our loved ones who are ill this morning. And pray that you bless our endeavors to protect the flock. And Lord, as we look forward to next Sunday morning, Christmas Sunday, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. It's all about you. Holy Spirit, lead us in the love of Christ. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Our Advent reading for this morning in this third Sunday of Advent, the scripture comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And it is all about the wonder of Christmas and the beauty of Christmas and the healing that comes to us in Christ. And the Advent reading goes so wonderfully with our lesson today from Luke in chapter 1, because as we read there of Mary being filled with the wonder of God's love and that she was the chosen one to give birth to the very Son of God, the Messiah, the Redeemer of our life. So a wonder-filled Christmas. It's ours when we know intimately the Lord Jesus Christ. From 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse number 7. And on that day, David gave to Asaph and his fellow Levites this song of thanksgiving to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exalt in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles, and the rulings he has given. You, his children of his servant Israel, you descendants of Jacob, you, all his chosen ones. Amen. Christmas wonder. After my first semester in seminary, my family was given airline tickets to fly home for Christmas. The night before our flight, we realized we had less than $20 for the trip. Parking, transportation, other incidentals were certain to cost more than $20. Heartsick, we resolved to pray about it. Though our children were small, 6 and 2, we included them in the prayer time. And as we were praying, we heard footsteps in the hallway of the apartment building, and then, whoosh, the sound of an envelope sliding under the door. And inside the envelope was an anonymous gift of $50. The wonder reflected on our 6-year-old daughter's face matched the wonder in our own hearts. Here was a mighty God writing his name on a little girl's heart by hearing and answering our prayer in the very same instant. And so we, like the psalmist David, could tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. And so it was that first Christmas night when a mighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God wrote his name on the heart of humanity, stunning us with the generosity of forgiveness and the joy of unconditional love. The birth of Christ is the answer to our most fervent prayers for love and forgiveness. The question is, can you feel the wonder of the love of Christ in your heart? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer this morning. As we come before the Lord, much to pray for in behalf of others, and thanking God for his grace and his goodness. Let us do remember in particular our loved ones that are ill here in the church. And there are quite a few. And we pray God's blessing and his ministries on them. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you, God, as we have just read here about the love of God. Whatever's going on in our hearts, you know it and you care about it. There's nothing ever too small for your attention. There is nothing too large that it is beyond your ability to do. You are God. You hold the universe in the palm of your hand. And all nations are like a drop in a bucket. We are yours. We praise you as your children, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, indwelt by the Spirit of God, with our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is nothing in this world that can take us. We are safe in your arms, Lord, and you are jealously always guarding your children, meeting our needs, exceeding our needs. You are sufficient for all matters in our life. And on this morning, dear God, when we have, as leadership, decided not to come together for in person together and gathering, we thank you that your Spirit still has us united as one. We pray you bless, dear God, this effort to guard and care for the flock of God, over which you've called us as leadership to be overseers. We pray your health, your power, your healing, your fullness, your goodness, God, in the hearts and in the lives of our family loved ones. There are many that are ill this morning, and there are some extremely ill. And we pray, dear God, that your healing powers would abound upon them all. We thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness. We lift to you, Lord, our whole nation. We lift to you, Lord, the needs of the world in this dark time in which we live. And just thanking you that you are the Lord and you are hastening us all and the whole plan and purpose of mankind toward that great consummation of all the age. And Lord Jesus, when you will come and call for your church, and then you will come and rule the world in righteousness. And when comes that very final day when we enter into the eternal state and all sin and all the enemies of God and of your people are cast away forever. And there'll be no more death and no more dying, no more sorrows, no more sickness, no more sadness, no more parting, no more of the old flesh. We shall be with the Lord. Glory to his name. And there in the fullness of Christ, because when we see him, we will be like him as he is right now. And there we will serve the Lord forever in eternity. And we love your promise, Father, as you've said, I'll be to you as your father. You will be to me as my children. For all is well in our Father's house. And Lord, in this Christmas time, may our hearts still be filled with joy. For truly the joy of the Lord, nothing of the world can ever take it away. Even in the midst of dark sadness, we pray for the families of the Zinn family and the Rice family, and as they have said goodbye to their loved ones over this past week, and we pray for their strength and for their healing. We pray that just thanking you, God, and these families that are families of great faith in the Lord, and the joy of the Lord still lives on. And so it must be and will be and is in the hearts and lives of all your people. Just as we read in the Advent, Father, fill us with the wonder of your love and your joy, your gladness, and nothing can take it away. It's not about the here and the now. It's about that which awaits us in glory. And we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, and our hearts will be glad no matter what happens here. We thank thee, Lord God, for the privilege that is ours as the Church of Jesus Christ to go forth into this world and to share the gospel, to share words of hope. There is hope in this world, and his name is Jesus. Give your hearts and give our lives unto the Lord, and we'll be so glad. We thank thee, God, that this Christmas season, that it is always fresh for us. It's always filled with wonder. The wonder, Lord, as we experience this as born-again children of God, as families, and the blessings you have poured upon us. For many families, it's the wonder of a newborn child celebrating their first Christmas. It is the wonder, along with the bitterness, of knowing a loved one has just left, and they're now home and safe in glory. And we will see them again, and our hearts rejoice. And in times of illness and sickness, our hearts still rejoice, knowing that we have an advocate with the Father, Christ, who is our healer, in our power, in our strength. He is our peace. And we praise you above all else that we have Jesus Christ, Calvary's cross. And for there, Lord Jesus, you willingly lay down your life, and you was raised up on that old cross. And all the sin of all the world were laid on your shoulders, Jesus. All the hurts, the darkness, the meanness of all society and all peoples everywhere. The wrath of God was poured out upon you, his justice. So in this, Lord Jesus, you took our sin, you died our death. You consumed the wrath of God. And you did it so victoriously for all of us, and we bless you, and we thank you. In Christ, our sins are forgiven, and every day we have the very Christ himself to walk with us and talk with us and guide us in all matters of life. And Lord, as we pray together this morning, there are needs on every heart within the hearing of the sound of this prayer. And I pray, dear God, that you will bless and heal and deliver and restore and lift up, and your light of your presence lighten any darkness. And God, may we all be found faithful till that day you call us home, or till you come again. May Christmas this year, in the midst of all things as they are, be a very joyous time for all of God's people, and many, many, many souls come into the kingdom of God, all to the glory and to the praise of Christ. And it is in his name that we do pray, and together we say, amen. Amen. Opening your Bibles this morning, we are in the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter. Looking here at Mary's song of praise. It's a very tremendous and beautiful song of Mary, and we find it's recorded for us in verses 46 through 45. And along with Mary's song in this chapter. There are also two other songs, Elizabeth's song, which begins there in verse 41, and then Zacharias' song, which as well begins in verse number 67. Songs of praise, songs of testimony, songs of rejoicing about the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's really pleasant and natural to think of Mary singing. A little while ago, as Brother Doug had some music on the sound system, the sweet young voice of a lady with a high voice as she was singing "O Little Town of Bethlehem." You know, it's very peaceful, it's very, very lovely, and it is that which is so so resembles and gives credence to Mary's song here, as recorded for us in Luke in chapter 1. And it's a marvelous thing that this is recorded for us. And it is for purpose that we will worship the Lord and we know the fullness of the Lord. There are so many proofs, not only of the Lord's death and resurrection, but proofs of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most astounding event that ever happened to humanity. And as Mary sings this song, the question must be asked, and we must explore that, was there ever a voice, mortal voice, that sang a sweeter song than this one? It is often compared to Hannah's song, as we find recorded in 1 Samuel in chapter 2, when she was promised a son in answer to her prayers. So you can be sure that Mary knew of Hannah's song. And in First Samuel chapter 2, do it that way. And that if you would read that, her song, it's very comparable to Mary's song. So what we want to exemplify this morning in Mary, as she rejoices in God her Savior, her humble, sweet spirit, her character. It has been said that the sweet, humble spirit and character is the most blessed possession that we have. One person said, fame is vapor, popularity is an accident, riches will take wings. There's only one thing that endures, any test, any tragedy, any crisis, and that is character. Samuel Smiles reminds us that to be worth anything, character must be capable of standing firm upon its feet in the world of daily work, temptation, and trial. Character. And character able to bear the wear and the tear of actual life. I think we can all identify with that. Just in the wear and the tear and the bear of life. And especially as a Christian, because the Lord told us that we will suffer, and it is even good for us to suffer, because in our sufferings is what draws us near unto Christ. And we compare our lives, and we see here's this to this young gal who was so humble in her heart and her spirit, and the Lord blessed her as the one chosen to bear the Christ child, the Messiah, for all the world. So we find here that as we look at Mary and her humbleness and her sweetness, we also know, as we read the text here, that people in the world, and we encounter them, the characteristics and the features of unregenerate man, those who know not Christ, are very opposite of what we find here in Mary and any Christian especially living near to the heart of God. The characteristics and the attitudes of the unregenerate man are just so full of selfishness and so opposite of what we find here in our text today. Now, as we come to our text, we kind of pick up the story, really. We come in on the heels of Elizabeth, who is now carrying, John the Baptist, and Mary. She has discovered, as by the voices of the Lord, and knowing that she is now pregnant with the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit had come upon her, and she takes off to the hill country to meet with Elizabeth. And they come together, and we find that within the both of them, in their voices and in their conversation, an incredible display of unselfishness in both of them. Neither one of them really give any attention to themselves, as a person often does. But they rejoice in each other. And Elizabeth just marveling that the mother of my Lord would come to me. For the angel told Elizabeth, your cousin is carrying the Messiah. And Mary was told, your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant with the forerunner, John the Baptist. So they come together, and it's just a beautiful thing. And so this Mary's song, even though hers is a little longer than Elizabeth's, but her song has been recorded, used, entered into much of the Christian church. And we find that we are so very, very blessed. We find here in Christ, as we look at this, let's read our text. We'll begin at verse number 46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maid servant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. And he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers and to Abraham, to his seed forever. Verse 56, and Mary remained with her cousin Elizabeth about 3 months, and then returned to her house. Amen. This song, it is a powerful song, and the song in itself, dear friends, it marks a transition in Old Testament to New Testament. The both covenants are right here, the Abrahamic covenant and the new covenant we have in Christ, are just so joined right here. And especially as we look here, verses number 54 and 55, we find the Old Testament attention here, in that this great testimony of praise in remembrance of God's faithfulness to Israel, the promise to Abraham, and here comes the birth of Christ very soon. And God told Abraham that all nations in the world will be blessed through your seed and through the generations to come. And so it is a tremendous song. The New Testament is manifest here with a very special thanksgiving in verses 48 and 49. For he has regarded us all. Not only Mary, but he has regarded us all in the very birth of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing that all generations will call her blessed. And we find here in, as the scriptures declare, the Old Testament is not and never will be a thing of the past. And certainly along with the New Testament, that here is just a powerful transition. You and I rejoice in the fact of, as Gentiles, that what God said to Abraham, that all the nations of the world will be blessed in you. Because through Abraham, you know, not only for Israel, God's chosen race, his chosen people, but the gospel came into the Gentiles, which is you and I, for the most part. And we have been grafted in by the birth of Christ, by salvation in his name, and we are his. So all nations, he has remembered us. He has remembered the lostness of every soul in all the world. And he sent his only son. This is John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So you and I, as we remember Mary, and saying that all nations will call her blessed, it is because that through her, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And there is the attention, there is the matter. But it comes very close to us as family members, and we will get to that, and how that we live in the Lord Jesus Christ. So all the promises of God are yes and amen. And the promise goes way back, even to Adam and to Eve, that one day the Messiah would come. And we rejoice in the Lord's faithfulness. This song, if you want to turn to Psalm in chapter 40, this song of Mary reminds us of the song of David in Psalm number 40, verses 1 through 8, about those who wait patiently on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. He established my steps, and he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn away to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. Can your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order? If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And he goes on. So we discover and declare the beauty and the wonder of God upon our life. And a new song is always given to the one as a result of salvation, and upon their lips of the faithfulness of the Lord. And then in all experiences of life, just as we read in our Advent reading, where the young family praying together, and immediately prayers are answered in a seemingly small thing. And it comes forth with praise from the lips, not only from the parents, but the wonder as the little children realize what had happened. So here with Mary, she, first of all, obviously knows the scriptures, the history, put it that way, the history recorded, which are the scriptures, of her people. She is quite aware, as she would read and study all the books and the works and the actions, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. She is aware, and she has studied, and she's known, she has read of all the accounts of scriptures recorded, and of the Psalms, and the prophets. She studied scripture. She knew scripture. And when you know scripture, because you study scripture, you know Christ. You know his heart. You know his mind. You know his character. And believing upon him, then his character becomes your character. And the loveliness of God upon her. So from the abundance of her heart, her mouth speaks. Her mouth speaks. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true depth of her heart and her soul. She knew scripture, and her feelings were expressed. She is unashamed in her heart in the expressions of her soul. Try to picture her as she is singing and probably dancing and in her conversation with Elizabeth as she has just erupted in praise. A young girl, unmarried, pregnant, pregnant to the very Son of God. And no matter what lies before her, in what she may know and realize, none of that matters in comparison to the beauty and the joy and the magnitude of the Messiah in her womb. So she expresses powerfully. So I want to tell you this morning, dear friends, time spent, invested in the study of Scripture is never wasted. And you see it come out all through her song. The very powerful implanted word in your heart, you will express in your prayers, because the heart and mind becomes enlarged in who God is, and it enlarges your own heart. You're aware of His faithfulness, His powers, His provision, the magnitude of His love, and His ability to protect, to keep, to care, to provide in all matters of life. So we must study Scripture till it dwells in us richly. This is what Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, the rich indwelling power of the Word of God. And to know this and to recognize the Lord and His goodness. In verse 53 of our text, she has said that He has filled the hungry with good things, which reminds us of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord Jesus preached, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled, to hunger for the Lord. And so His promises and His encouragement. And Mary here is actually holding God to His promises as well. Not only for what He has just done, and the fulfillment of thousands of years is now in her womb, and the promise of what is yet to come, knowing that her son would one day rule the world. How much of that she might have known, we don't know. But she had to know when she studied the Scriptures, the Messiah would come, He would suffer, He would die on the cross, He would rule the world, and one day there's going to be an eternal kingdom. How much of this she was, you know, full focused, we do not know, but she knew it. Why? Because she studied Scripture. So, and therefore, you and I must study Scripture. This book tells us everything we need to know about who God is, who we are, about eternity. Therefore, heaven and hell, there's only two destinations. For this old world will be destroyed and put away. And it tells us about salvation and how we can be saved, how we can go to heaven, how we can enjoy a great relationship with Christ. Teaches us how to pray, what to expect, what to believe. So it is the marvelous Scriptures, and that brings to us great promises and great encouragement. We find, secondly, about Mary's deep humility. Humility, and we gave a few examples earlier of the tragedy of the non-humble life and what we as born-again children of God deal with, because the rage of the world is all because of the pridefulness of man. And there is the pridefulness of man, and it is there because of their father, small f, the devil. But as a child of God, it is Christ who regenerates us into a whole new being. And we do not have that. But we find here Mary's humility. She proclaims the greatness of God, the great things that He has done for her, and this great honor that is hers, chosen of God to carry the Messiah. She speaks of her low estate. You know, there was only one woman in all the world that could ever carry the Messiah, and God chose her. And so therefore is why we look into her character. Why? She was a sinful woman, regenerated in Christ. Her character, her lowliness, her humbleness. And the Bible clearly tells us that the humble in heart Christ will exalt. For we have the very example of Christ himself, who, being in the form of man, was born because he thought it was not robbery of God to remain in the state that he was, and he had to become a man for us. The humility of Christ so exemplified in the eternal word, and his humbleness as he lived on this life, and how he lived and how he was treated, and in all things that he did, is most exemplified in his obedience to his heavenly Father to fulfill the plan of redemption. And he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. And this we would find is so exemplified in the life of humble Mary. Her humility. Humility. She feels the weight of her own sin here. You have regarded me in verse 48 and 47. And great things for me. She feels the weight of her own sin and her unworthiness to be the one chosen to carry the Christ child and give birth to him, why he has chosen me. And so when you and I, when we meditate upon the Lord and what he's done for us and what he's called us into and what he's redeemed us from and knowing how he cares for us and provides for us and intimately and personally lives with us as we with him, this brings the natural response: God, I'm not worthy of such a relationship with you. I am not worthy of your love. I am not worthy of so great a salvation. And that is why John says, what love is this of God that we should even be called the sons and the daughters of God? So for the humble heart, we see that it exemplifies in such a way that brings God glory and praise and testimony to why his love was set upon us, as you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Why? For no other reason that God set his love upon you. He chose Israel. Why? For no other reason that he chose Israel. He set his love on them, and he told him, and it's not because you're great or anything like that. It's simply because I chose you. And so this is very, it is striking for us. And we hear here in Mary's song, and it should also be in our own hearts, in our own song, that God, that you would redeem this wretched person of who I am, and you would set your love on me and call me to be your child is beyond what I can really grasp in my heart. I do not deserve this. I do not. I'm so unworthy of this. And Lord, and by your grace and your strength and your mercies, help me, empower me to live a life worthy of thanksgiving, worthy of such a calling. And we find here Mary is teaching us, as recorded for us here in the scriptures. And like Mary, just lowly in her own eyes, and she remembers her frailty, and you and I must remember our frailty. The powerful, proud do not recognize their own frailty. And they think they're indestructible. And we find here with Mary not only her deep humility and her, as she rejoices in God, but her thankfulness, her soul magnifies the Lord, the deep of who she is. She magnifies the Lord, a spirit of joy, a thankful heart. Holy is his name. You should highlight that right. It's right almost like in the midst of her song, his holiness and his mercy from generation to generation. So the gospel of God is intended to reach every man. All generations will call me blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because the gospel is then commanded by Christ. The gospel is to be taken out to every nation in all the world. Every person has the opportunity to receive Christ. The joy of Christ, as you hear her saying, the joy, it is internal, it is pure, it is blameless. It is the joy of the Lord, it is of Christ, and that is his joy and his gladness that rules our hearts, that nothing, even from our sin to all the experiences in the world, can take away from that joy because of this powerful covenant of regeneration and this covenant of grace that we are in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Great joy here with Mary, and she comes here like toward the in the song, and she moves away here in like verses 51 and 52 and from herself. And she's praising God for his faithfulness to all generations. And she's counting here, and she's bringing the attention to the fact that God put down old Pharaoh and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Philistines and all the enemies of God, as we've been studying there even on Wednesday night in the book of Judges, and how the Midianites and all, and God's faithfulness as he raised up judges during that time, and he raised up prophets to call to the people. She's calling us to God, and how he exalted Joseph and Moses and Samuel and David and Esther, and he just goes on. She's blessing God. How does she know this? Scripture. She knew the history of her people, the greatness of God, and knowing that what is prophesied, it is coming to pass. In a few months, she'll give birth to the Messiah. And not too many years after that, Calvary will take place. And so she's rejoicing in the Lord for what he has done in his faithfulness and his remembrance of all humanity. And she speaks so deeply of the holiness of God, and then and therefore of her salvation in him, and to all, in all generations, in Old Testament and in New Testament. It is always by faith, justification by faith to all who look unto the Lord, and putting their faith and trust in him. And, you know, always remembering the goodness of God. Always remember the goodness of God in your life. He's good to you continually, and no matter what the situation is. The psalmist says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." You know, remembering the goodness of the Lord. She her spirit rejoiced in a grateful joy, in a hopeful joy, in knowing that the Lord, he alone is God. So she continues to speak of his faithfulness and lay hold of God's promises. God keeps his word. When we walk by faith in Christ, we understand and we know and we experience the faithfulness of God in the keeping of his word. Magnify the Lord. We walk with the Lord. So how do we magnify the Lord? It is much more than as we gather in corporate worship, praising God together, or as Mary was here just with Elizabeth singing this powerful song of praise. We magnify the Lord in our service unto him, and we serve him without fear. We serve the Lord with gladness. We serve him in great faith, because the greater our faith, great faith casts out fear. When fear is overtaking us and wants to rule our decisions, it is faith in the Lord that casts out the fear. Fear will squelch the faith. Have faith in the Lord and press on in him, serving him in holiness, serving him in righteousness. You and I, as God's children, we are called to holiness. We are called to righteousness. And all this is ours in Christ. It's not what we can manufacture ourselves. But as we rest in the Lord, we obey the Lord, we seek to know the Lord, this is ours. Serving Christ in his presence, serving him all the days of our life. And we know, contrary to earthly military service, and that's a powerful ministry, there comes a day when a man or a woman is discharged from military service. Not so in the army of God. There's no discharge from serving in the army of the Lord. This is our duty and our call. And it's just the joy of our heart. It's the joy of our heart to serve the Lord with gladness. Remembering, of what, like with Mary, what she said, "You have done great things for me and for all of mankind. Your promises, your love, the sending of your Son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, that we may enjoy heaven with you forever, that we will come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ." There's no discharge to taking forth the gospel. Jesus, as he ascended into heaven and he gave that great commission to us, he did not say, "Go and preach the gospel, and so you can mark up about, I'm not give about 5 years, 10 years, you know, really 20 would be fantastic, and then you may take your rest." He said, no such thing. He says, "Go preach, go teach, go. It is now your whole life, because in salvation, your life is mine. I am in you. You are now mine. And you will rejoice in this, that we are called to be a living testimony unto the Lord. So friends, well, in this day of darkness that we have with the continuance of disease, the rampage of man, the onslaught of hell, the enemies of God, which seem to have a powerful sway in prominence, knowing that all these things, we serve the Lord with gladness, and the day is coming when the Lord will certainly return for his own. He'll come for you one by one, call you into his kingdom. And that, you know, on this day we have these bodily illnesses that just ravage the human body, killer storms, as we have just seen on the news, that have got just a 200-mile stretch and plus that has just devastated homes and killed lives and destroyed properties. And so in these days, in all this, we look unto the Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who is the joy, because it was the joy that was Christ set before him, the joy of what he would accomplish and what would be for the people of the world, the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross and despised the shame, then victoriously is seated at the right hand of God. And so as we look unto Christ, believing in him, trusting in him for salvation in every matter in our life, this is that joy that is ours, that is unspeakable and full of glory. And we grab the microphone alongside Mary, and we sing and we rejoice with her and with Elizabeth, and we praise his name and bless him forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word today. We thank you for your grace and your goodness. And we magnify your name and rejoice in you forever and ever. Amen. And now, dear church, I did not light the candles a while ago because I wasn't sure how that would reflect back on camera. So with our Advent that we had read earlier, we light the Advent wreath, the candles. And this being the third Sunday in Advent, and we rejoice in the Lord. Again, we bless God that we've been able to meet together here online and with a few here in the sanctuary. And so, and again, we did so in hopes of still being able to meet next Sunday on Christmas Sunday. So next Sunday, Christmas Sunday, be in the house of the Lord. As we see it now, by faith, we're trusting God, that is so. And pray for one another, pray for your loved ones, praying for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go on, praying and just praising God for the advent of Christ. And in his second advent, it's not too far away. So we bless the Lord together. Let us pray as we dismiss today. Thank you, Father, once again for the joy of the Lord. We thank you for your promises. We thank you, Father God, for your grace. Your heart is so huge. It is big enough for us all. Your promises are yes and no amen. We see the promises of God having been fulfilled down through the ages. And God, we praise you knowing that in your faithfulness, the day of the Lord will soon come. And we pray, dear God, for people everywhere. We pray for our own hearts, that on that great day when we stand before the Lord, we will render up an account with joy and gladness, praising you that in that day we are robed in the righteousness of Christ because of faith in him, and not stand there in our own nakedness, with nothing to say and no hope whatsoever. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for your love, grace. Help us each one to be mindful to teach our children that the joy of Jesus will be the example of our very hearts. And we take that out to a world that needs Christ. From generation to generation, God, you are faithful. You bless those who honor you and fear you, reverence you, joyfully walk with you. And let it be so in every heart.
In the wonderful name of Christ, amen. God bless you all. Very good.
Don't get to the door before I do.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your